Is it starting?
Yeah, it's recording. All I had to press it was once.
I want to talk about something that we haven't... I've made reference to it, but we haven't studied it. And it's about the stars, but as I was reviewing everything... It's doing exactly as it should.
All right.
I only had to press it once. Yeah. Usually I press it twice.
It's still doing it?
It's recording.
Anyway, we've talked often about how the signs of the zodiac defined how they camped in the wilderness, how Israel camped, and every one of the 12 tribes had one of the 12 signs. Leader had one of the 12 signs on his staff. And so let's go to first to Revelation. Chapter 4. Pete, would you turn that fan on a little bit? It's getting hot. Chapter 1 and 2 and 3 of Revelation are to the seven churches. And chapter 4 is a description around God's throne. And chapter 5, it talks about the sealed book and the lion and the lamb. And then the action for Revelation starts in chapter 6, and it starts off quite dramatic. It's the opening of the seals and all that. But before any of that could happen, the message first was to the seven churches, then this description around God's throne, and that's what we're going to take a look at, okay? And after this, after he gave the message to the churches, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up here," or hither, "and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Now, throughout Revelation, you will see the angel saying, "Come see, come see, come see." And that's the same angel is calling you to say, "Here, come see." And you'll see in Revelation that it's not the revelations, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it covers all of time. It isn't a book of events that happen in sequence. It's a book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Everybody understand that? And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, these 24 elders in the priesthood in the temple, there were 24 courses of the priesthood. And each of the 24 courses had a name. And sometimes they were fluid, and sometimes the same priest did the same things. And it included everything down to and including removing the worms from the wood that was going to be on the fire and inspecting the sacrifices to make sure that they were acceptable outwardly as well as inwardly. If once they sacrificed a lamb or an oxen, and they found out that there was too much fat on the inner being, it wasn't accepted. And once they inspected the live animal and saw that there was two hairs of this of different colors coming out of one follicle, it wasn't accepted. And so they had everything that wasn't accepted, including the sacrifice, I mean the carcasses of the animals that had been opened up, and the live animals. They were taken by cart or led, but I think it happened daily, to the Dead Sea. And there they were, the live animals were, they put a millstone around their neck and they were pushed overboard from a barge. And the other meat that was raw meat and carcasses, it couldn't be used for anything once it had been dedicated to the temple. And they put it in these kind of burlap kind of bags and sank it into the depth of the Dead Sea. So nothing that was originally assigned to be a sacrifice could ever be used for anything else. And so anyway, that's the 24 course. One of the courses of the priesthood was that supervising that destruction of the carcasses and the live animals. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. What are the seven spirits of God? It's just one spirit that represents the 7 days of linear time. It doesn't matter how time a long time lasts, if it's billions of years, from God's standpoint, there's only 7 days of time. That's why the first 6 days, the 6 days ended when Christ was crucified. And the seventh day began when the sun darkened. Now we've been in the night of that seventh day now for over 2,000 years, but it's just this one day. Like, just there's only two generations of the scriptures. There's only the generation of Adam and the generation of Christ. Understand?
A little bit. So the seven spirits of God are the...
It represents the seven, the operation of the spirits in the seven days of linear time.
Adam's generation end with the flood?
No, Adam's generation ended with the cross.
Oh, okay.
And those 7 days could be epochs of billions of years or 20 minutes, whatever. I mean, the seven...
Yeah, it's not right. Up to us.
Correct. Okay.
And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. And the second beast like a calf, but it actually says ox. The third beast had the face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings round the bottom, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat in the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat in the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor, to glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now these four beasts, if you look in the encampment, the first beast was Leo, and he was the easternmost. These are the four cardinal points of the compass. And the first beast was Leo, the lion. And he... was of the tribe of Judah, and his direction was that his cardinal point was east. The second beast was Taurus, the ox, and his cardinal point was west. The third beast was Aquarius, the man, and it's from the tribe of Judah, of Reuben, and his cardinal point was the south. Then the sign for Scorpio was Dan, which really Scorpio used to be an eagle. That's another story. And that was for the tribe of Dan, and that was the north. So that's how the four cardinal points of the compass were. Those were the cardinal points of the compass and the encampment in the wilderness. Now, let's go to Ezekiel 1. And see the same thing. Well, I'll just start at the beginning. And it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar. Now this is the captivity in Babylon. That the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and fire enfolding itself, and brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and their sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings and on their four sides, and the four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. And as for the likeness of their faces, the four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they had the face of an ox and the face of an eagle on the left side. Is that right?
Yeah. It says the face of an ox on the left side.
And the four also had the face of an eagle.
Yeah.
Now, again, we have the same four beasts, the four cardinal points of the compass that represent Judah, Joseph, Reuben, and Dan. Now, what this is saying, anytime the four cardinal points of the compass are discussed in Revelation or in Ezekiel, for that matter, it defines all possible, everything is finished. When the beast fell down, and all of the 24 elders fell down, that means everything, there was nothing left to do, it was all finished. But the point of this in Ezekiel and in Revelation is the four cardinal points represent the whole. And so this was the movement of Israel in the wilderness, but it represents the movement of the body of Christ, the entire body of Christ, as one. But that can only happen when the members of the body of Christ have abandoned themselves and taking no thought for their life. As long as you're taking part, thought for yourself in any dimension, then you are saying to God, I don't need your direction. I'm following what my mind says. And so you step out of this mystery of the movement of the entire body of Christ. Does everybody understand that? Now, and again, they're moving as one. Not many. They're moving as one. Now, in each Seder, in the mystery of God, the world is divided up into Seder groups. And a Seder is the Passover. And it's 10 to 20 people. And then... And if it's more than 20, then it's another Seder group. And that's what the size of a church should be, 10 to 20 people. And the whole mystery of it is, in each Seder group, the message isn't to any one of us. The message is that we must move as one by what we can feel and see and touch and smell and hear. Not because somebody tells you to, but because each of us have abandoned ourselves. Do you understand that? If somebody tells you what to do, then you know it's automatically wrong. So, anytime you go any place and anybody tells you what to do, or how to raise kids, or how to do anything, if they tell you how to do it in the name of God, then they've moved out of the mystery. In fact, I teach that if anyone tells you what to do in the name of God, it's a cult. I don't care how big or small a cult is. If they're telling you what to do in the name of God, they're out of the will of God, and therefore they can't be part of this mystery of one movement. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Who said yeah, yeah?
That speaks to me, yeah.
Okay.
Especially the emptying part.
What?
Especially the emptying part where, you know, you...
Right.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I was going to say, there's plenty of that around, people telling you what to do in the name of God.
No, I know.
Well, the name, I got a buddy of mine goes to a church where it's, we got accountability groups. Pete, mm-hmm. If you're going to date, you really need to talk to me first. I mean, you just need to. You know, that if you're going to go to, you know, Al, I'm going to go to, I'm calling myself by my middle name, you know, Nick, I'm going to go to the movie. Well, Pete, you know what? Is that R-rated? You know what I'm saying? That's nonsense, but that's big in a lot of churches.
Well, that's bullshit.
Accountability groups. You know, Jim, you're accountable to me. I'm accountable to you. But it's big. It is. It's evil. Holy, how about the 24 elders?
They're 24 courses of the priesthood.
They're the 24 courses of the priesthood.
Yeah.
So a lot, because I've heard it said they're the 12 apostles and the reps of the 12 tribes. Okay.
It's kind of a misnomer for those groups. I mean, because the concept of being accountable is not evil in itself. But telling people what to do is the evil part.
But doesn't it sound good, though? You know, Pete, I'm going to watch your back for an hour and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know,
well, that's why you'll see a whole lot of churches where you go and somebody tells you, I have a word from the Lord for you. That's just pure bullshit.
Yeah.
You got this speaking out of their own evil self, and they see something and say, oh, this is what God's doing in your life. I mean, that's... Do you see how evil that is?
Yeah.
Anyway, now let's go to... Now, the one other point back in Revelation, you remember it, they had the six wings unfolding on it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Isaiah.
Faster than anybody.
I know.
It's
a
little
digital
deal.
Oh, aren't we special?
If yours
an iPad, so special.
Did you love it?
Six. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
How much?
For this one, $5.99.
Yeah, that's well. Brenda says about $199 or something. That can't be right.
My wife told me I couldn't buy it, and we had an argument. And I said, just because we had the argument, my wife got it. Now, we made up over it, but now I got it.
What'd you let her buy?
Say you moved it once.
She controls the money now.
Oh.
Yeah.
He controls the checkbook. Oh. Now, after his little...
Yeah.
After his flame.
After Steve Jobs.
So you've got your accountability group.
Isaiah chapter 6. And this is the call of... This is interesting. This is the call of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thine sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Anyway, let me just read the rest of it. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. Hallelujah. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Isn't that neat? Again, even here, it's only the holy seed can be the substance thereof, not you making a conversion experience or any crap. All that I can tell you with my mind and my mouth, make this people fat. Make their ears dull of hearing. You can't hear this with your mind. That's idiocy. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
All right. So anyway, I thought we'd take a little side trip and go around and go visit the throne for a minute. Okay? Anybody have any thoughts about that?
Let's visit. Oh, when they threw down their crowns. They laid their crowns before.
They're just one of everybody else. There's no royalty. That's why we had this discussion earlier today, Nick and I, that because I'm saying the best that you can be after the flesh is a friend of the bridegroom. Why did Scripture say we're priests and the kings and it's not after the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
What?
Amen. They had wings to fly, but also covered their bodies, covered their eyes, covered their feet. The other scriptures said that they used a set of wings to fly.
See with their eyes. They didn't make judgments with their senses. Amen?
Yeah.
Sometimes I just want to zip into Revelation.
Mm. Well, then zip in, Noli. My goodness. Zip in. I just left the service yesterday, 6 hours. I mean, 3 hours. I'm ready. Everybody here ready for Revelation,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. You zip in, but you don't zip up.
Yeah, boy.
You zip in, you zip, you sitting back up.
Like, you know, Jim, I'm sitting there with my wife from 6 to 9, and it's okay. Yeah. But, I mean, here, I mean, she's over there tonight, and I said, well, honey, you know where I'm going. I go, Holy, go ahead. Man, my goodness, this is good stuff. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
I want to talk about the Magi a minute. The Magi were an ancient tribe, really, of Persia. And they had been in existence for a long time as really charlatans and, you know, holy men, so-called, but they were just kind of goofy. But over time, they'd been given huge amounts of land and privileges by the various Persian rulers. But then, there was this man called Zoroaster. And Zoroaster was a pupil of Daniel. And Daniel instructed him in great detail regarding Daniel kind of stuff. And then Zoroaster wrote the holy book of the Magi then, which revolutionized them. And the holy book was called the Avesta.
Avesta.
And the Avesta was the book that they were studying because it referenced this whole mystery of this child that would be born in Israel. and it instructed them that they would be fulfilled when that child was born and they were to bring him gifts. And there wasn't just three Magi, there was a whole tribe left. And it took them 9 months to get from where they were in the mountains of Persia, across the desert, some of the most roughest terrain and land in the world, to reach Jerusalem to find the Holy Child. And gave further instructions that the star would be in the constellation called Virgo of the Virgin, and that it would be a star that's brighter than, and some of the ancients say it was 100 times brighter than the morning star, the Venus. And so they would know they were at the place when the star would be directly, exactly above them at midnight. And so they knew where they were, they knew the longitude, but they didn't know the latitude. And so they had to go to Herod, and they asked him where it was supposed to be. And so they got to Bethlehem, and they couldn't find the child.
To Jerusalem or to Bethlehem?
No, they went to Jerusalem to see Herod.
Right. You said they went to Bethlehem and they couldn't find the child, or they went to Jerusalem?
They went to Jerusalem to see Herod.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
They went to Bethlehem and couldn't find the child. And they were all concerned about it. So they, because they asked around, nobody knew anything about the child.
Wow.
So at midnight, they were getting ready to water their camels and take off again, because they didn't want to travel in the daytime. And so one of the magi looked down. They were watering their camels at the well of David in Bethlehem. And he looked down into the well. And then, I mean, it was noon. And he went down into the well, looked down into the well, and you could see the star, you know, because in the well there was no light, so you could see the reflection of the star directly above him. And they didn't even think to look, and right near the well was this cavern. And in the cavern is where the sheep that were designated for slaughter, or the animals that were designated for slaughter in Jerusalem, Bethlehem was the farthest out that could be. And so they went in, and they found him in the manger, in the cavern, which was the place where the sacrificial animals were kept. And the shepherd, there was a tower of En Gold, that was at the border of Jerusalem. And it was the final, that's where the shepherds that worked, that were really priests, that were responsible to make sure none of the sacrificial animals went past that. Because if they went past that, then they weren't subject to be slaughtered anymore for sacrifice. And so that was, so the shepherds, whose job it was all along to proclaim Messiah, they were the shepherds that were watching the flocks by night. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Interesting.
To this day, is that text still, the integrity's there? I mean, you know,
the what?
Avesta?
There's no, it's gone. The Avesta is gone. It was called the Zend Avesta, but there's just a few passages from it ever, you know, there's most of them were destroyed many years ago.
But you still have a Zoroastrian religion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but they don't have the Zen, they don't have the Avesta, they have portions of it.
Okay.
Much of the Zoroaster now is idiots. They're mostly New Age philosophers. Anyhow, the Magi were fulfilled. I mean, they had done their duty. Now, many of the Magi stayed around in Jerusalem, and they became some of the charlatans that you read about in the book of Acts. So,
like maybe Simon.
You say Simon.
Simon. Simon Magus. Magus. But that was Simon the Magi.
It paid to learn your tricks, yeah. So here's the Lord and Savior, the baby, the God incarnate, and the Savior of the world, who's born with sacrificial sheep, not in the Taj Mahal or a castle or a
That's why they couldn't find him.
Right, exactly. Where's the king? He's in a cave? He's in a cavern? Are you kidding me? Amazing. The humility, the...
Now there's the Persians, and especially the Magi, they were responsible for how dualism entered into Israel. The idea that there's a big battle between good and evil happening, which has now entered the Christian church also. That's ridiculous. There's no battle.
Done.
it's always been done. Satan was just the opposer to test the mystery. That's all. He was never a battle between good and evil. But that's how good and evil entered into the monotheism, was from the Persians, from Zoroaster guys. I want you to just open your Bibles. How about Isaiah 45?
On one shoulder, you get the little demon on the other talking to you this way, talking this way. Yeah, it's right between your ears. Isaiah 45.
Verse 5. I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else.
45, verse 5.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Isaiah 45, 5.
Now 6.
Indeed.
That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. That's not studied too often.
Yeah. No. I've never read that before.
Let's go to Amos 3.
After Daniel.
Daniel, Joel, Amos. Hear the word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel. Amos 3, verse 1. Against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Israel, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Amen?
Yeah.
What does verse 7 mean?
Well, he's already revealed everything he's doing.
Oh, it's already revealed.
Yeah. Let's go to my favorite verse in the whole Bible. Amos 5.
Amos 5.
Verse 18. Woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. or went into the house and leaned his hand upon the wall, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials, etc., etc. Because they miss the meaning of the sacrifices. The meaning of the sacrifices, the meaning of the holy days, the meaning of the solemn assemblies was a revelation of Christ, and they missed it.
And of course, this speaks to anyone today who's missed the revelation.
Amen. Has missed that. Anybody that says it isn't finished, God help them.
He's still about 100 miles. It's like at the pistol range, you're shooting backwards.
There's two historians, Tacitus and Suetonius. They're Roman historians. Both of them say the following about the time of Christ.
First century.
At that time, men starting from Judea would become masters of things. The ancient tradition says that Zoroaster, or his name in Persian was Zerdusht, the Persian Magi, was a pupil of Daniel, that he predicted to the Magians that when they should see a new star appear in the constellation Virgo, he would notify the birth of a mysterious child whom they were to adore and bring an end to all things. It's from an Arab Christian historian named Abul Faragius. We've talked a lot about the Temple of Denedra in Egypt. But there was another one. It was a temple at Esna. And and it had a planetarium in the ceiling. And on the planetarium between the sign of Leo and Virgo, there's the Sphinx. And it shows the ascent pointing toward Leo and the head of the woman toward Virgo.
That's why.
So you know where to start. Where the circuit of the stars. You start at Virgo and end at Leo.
The Sphinx is right here. It shows where to start with the history and where to end with the history.
And this was, I think it was from 4000 B.C.
If we're going to read that one, we should go to Isaiah 40, where, behold, I've created an alternate place for sinners in order.
Isaiah 19.
Isaiah 19. The lion
and the
we should read that.
Yeah, let's go there. Let's go to Isaiah 19. Or you can go to Isaiah 40 if you want to, Pete.
No, I want to go to the actual scripture. I remembered it correctly.
Well, I just thought we could go there and look if you wanted to.
I'm sure there's something good there.
Yeah. Word of knowledge or something.
It's prophecy against Egypt.
Verse 19. In that day there shall be an altar to the Lord in the middle of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. Now, Egypt is the only country that there could be, this could take place, because it was in the, it was in the middle, and it had a pillar and an altar. The pillar was the Sphinx, and the altar is the Great Pyramid of Giza. Both of them, only purpose is to reveal Christ. Someday we'll, if we ever finish the stars, we'll study the Great Pyramid before we study Revelation.
Well, only what, now, you said the other day, you were talking about the square which this is occurring in Egypt.
The what?
The gathering place in Egypt. Weren't you telling me there's a small church there? Did you tell me? Small Coptic church? Okay, forget it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, okay. Wasn't you telling me that, somebody else?
There's all kinds of Coptic churches. There's a Coptic church in that Tahrir Square. In that area, that was the most cosmopolitan area of Egypt. Right. It has Coptics and Arabs, and Islam and Shia and Sunni, and I mean every possible. Is that your phone, Pete?
Or the ice cream man?
No, my phone's on vibrate.
You said there were only two structures that predate the Sphinx, and
there's only two structures that predate the flood.
Predate the flood.
The Sphinx and the Great Pyramid of Giza. In verse 20, it's, and it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior, the Great One, and he shall deliver them. That's how the Coptic church was huge in Egypt. And then it's, now it's just nothing, because they got, oh, don't get me started on that.
They got what?
They're idiots.
Slightly up here. To this day, we got a Pharaoh on the run, you got Gaddafi on the run, you got the domino, the Middle East domino effect happening still, right?
I just found some notes I didn't know I had. So, excuse me for enjoying my own notes.
Learning.
Sure, sure.
Oh yeah, Shakespeare said in Titus Andronicus, he speaks of an arrow being shot up into the heaven to the good boy in Virgo's lap.
What is that? Where's that arrow? There it is. Is that it?
Hmm?
Here's the boy.
Place the thing.
You know, where he said the Sphinx was between Leo and Virgo, it sounds like, you know, that's where time came in. Is that where it goes out when we get back to that point?
No. Time goes on jillions of years. Time goes out. I believe time goes out in Aquarius.
I was going to say, yeah, well, that's only halfway around.
It's been going around for millions of years. Just because you started noticing it, we're only halfway around.
It's all about me.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, that's what I would do. So. Start here. So it's
Coma.
Been around.
Coma.
How many times?
Yes, Chrysostom speaks of its the star's surprising brightness. Ignatius says, at the appearance of the Lord, a star shone forth brighter than all the other stars. And Prudentius says, not even the morning star was so fair.
Venus.
Can you imagine what was going on? I remember thinking this once. About here I am, I'm up in the beautiful mountains of Iran, which, I mean, that's really a beautiful place. The palace of Susha, where Esther is from, which we're going to be celebrating here pretty soon. And there are these guys, they had everything. They had lands and money and anything they wanted. You got to know that all the Magi didn't leave. You got to know that a whole bunch of them went, but most of them probably stayed there. And then some of them that left got disappointed that he didn't turn out to be what they thought he was going to be. So they probably hung around and went to Rome and stayed in Jerusalem and became the charlatans because they knew all the tricks. But it's the same thing was. That's an incredibly difficult journey from. But most of them, I'm not. You come back and tell me about it.
Yeah. Who wants to return? Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
It's not an easy.
You
want to
go across what?
It's the same as it is now.
Right.
It's the same. You know, who wants to know about this Jesus that costs you your life? Oh, they all want to know about the one that's going to make my life sweet.
Oh, look at that. I didn't even know I had that. There's Venus.
That's not Venus. That's a little thing on a... That's a little... on your little machine.
Let me see.
No, it's Venus.
Turn it around again.
That's cool. Wow. See? Technology.
Oh, I love it.
Technology, Ovi. You don't have to brush your teeth with your little
finger. I will take care of my yellow pad with and lighting. I don't want your friggin' stuff.
Good bless
you. 1919. So, Rachel, you were recording all that stuff. Did you listen to it while you were digitizing it, or did you?
I listened to all of it, yeah.
Wow. Did you?
What?
She listened to. She digitized a bunch of tapes from 1986, 7.
I probably cussed a lot in those tapes. Didn't I?
And she.
Some, yeah.
She listened to them as she was digitizing.
Am I saying the same thing?
Yeah.
Oh no! Yeah.
The different parts of the Bible.
Hey, if you're going to listen to them, you have to take notes. Or just a notation for...
There's software for that. We'll download an app for that.
I like a little summary.
A little summary for the website when we post
it. No. If you can take notes, do it that way. Just get a toothbrush and an app for that. How now shall we live or die?
Josephus says, yes.
What's that?
Carbon.
Josephus.
Josephus says that all the ancient asserted that God gave the pre-flood people, the antediluvians, such long life that they might perfect those things they had discovered with regard to the stars, that their revelation might not be lost as to the two coming judgments of water and fire. He also says astronomy and the zodiac originated with the family of Set, but Persian and Arabian traditions ascribe their invention to Adam, Seth, and Enoch.
seeing the water, what about the fire?
That's the end.
It started right around, what, the Bikini Atoll in 54, and we'll continue. No. The end.
Just for you, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3.
Thanks, Lord.
Then we're going to quit. I should have read these notes by myself instead of what I'm supposed to be teaching. I haven't read these notes since 87.
Is that right?
I did a whole lot of research back then.
Well, he was out studying before, right before.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He was out studying.
I wasn't looking at this, though. Shut up, Pete.
Okay.
Chapter 3, 2 Peter.
1 Peter chapter 3.
2 Peter.
Hey.
2 Peter chapter 3, verse...
Here's a teacher of 50 plus years. She wants to study here.
Would you like me to teach you how to make lessons?
I'm guessing 10.
Well?
Can you see me with a lesson plan?
She makes lesson plans for 3 years.
Well, yeah, he knows that. Yeah. We said,
well, my second thought, maybe I should make a lesson plan.
But if we're all moving as a unit.
I would that you not be ignorant. That's my favorite scripture.
But only if we are.
Shh, don't try to use my own words against me. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3.
Hey, not against.
Verse 10. The day of the Lord will come. Now, you understand, we've been in the night of the last day for 2,000 years. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Jewish days begin at night. You know that. Okay. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven, a new earth or a new land wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's the fire. You understand that all men die at the same time, and that's the fire? Every man since Abel has died at exactly the same instant on the cross. And every man in the future dies exactly the same instant on the cross, because the cross is the only way to get out of time. But those that didn't get out of time and space go to Gehenna. Those that got out of time and space, both, whose home is the New Jerusalem, who are seated on the mercy seat. They're in the New Jerusalem. Amen?
I think there's a verse in Romans 14:7 that says, well, the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness,
love, joy, and peace, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen, the Holy Spirit, yes.
Amen?
Well, let me head home.
Oh, I got another thing. If you ever want to look, it's fine. There's a book, an ancient book called The Illumination of Bel.
Do you have it?
No.
Okay. Any scrolls of it?
I don't know.
The Illumination
of Bel. I don't mean in his library. I mean anywhere.
How do you spell it?
Well, I couldn't. B-E-L.
Huh?
B-E-L.
The Illumination of Bel?
Of Bel. Bel was the Babylonian obelisk that was 60 cubits high, and everybody had to fall down and worship. Anyway, but it has the ancient meanings of the stars. But I could never find it. what was I going to say? Before you destroyed my thinking about lesson plans.
You were going to say, where we started really is how we end is basically said, if we all move as one, right? Not, but...
No, I'm saying...
No, when earlier in the... tonight,
I know what you're saying.
We all move as one.
We so only move as one is if each one is abandoned.
So we might even be able to finish each other's sentences, even.
Nice try, Chiz.
Do you ever notice that self-justification is the nature of the beast?
Yeah. I noticed.
He seems like such a nice guy.
Yeah, that's the tricky part. Big Fig Newton.
Take a big guy.